Today is the 11th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. Hi, everybody. It is so good to be here today. I'm grateful. And really, really, I am trying to practice gratitude. Especially in this 20th year, just still marveling that this is the 11th day of August. And there hasn't been a missed day, and it's just crazy. So I'm grateful to be here with you once again around the Global Campfire, taking the next step forward. And August 11th brings us to new territory. We begin a brand new book. We concluded the book of Ezra, and so today we will begin the book of Nehemiah, which is one of the biblical texts that is a part of a grouping of books known as the books of history. And it's not like we're like really jumping into completely new territory. Nehemiah pretty much picks up where Ezra leaves off. In Christian tradition, Ezra is considered to be at least one of the authors of the book of Nehemiah, because there was a point in history before the manuscripts were broken up that Ezra and Nehemiah were a single manuscript. So the way that we understand this is that Nehemiah was a Hebrew exile in the Persian Empire. So if we'll remember, it was Babylon that conquered the kingdom of Judah and destroyed the temple and ruined Jerusalem. And then subsequently, the Persian Empire defeated the Babylonian Empire, and the Jewish people had been carried away by Babylon, so now they're being assimilated into the Persian Empire. It's just that the Persian kings were favorable to the Hebrew people and allowing them to return to their ancestral homeland, not to give it back to them so that they could govern it, but to let them go back and rebuild. And so Nehemiah is this Hebrew exile in Persia, who has been following that story of the favor of God on the Jewish people and the remnant of Jewish people who are allowed to go back to the homeland and begin to rebuild the temple of God. And Nehemiah is able to kind of keep up with this story pretty closely because he is a direct servant to the king of Persia. And Nehemiah begins to be pulled in his heart into months of intercession because he has this kind of burning in his heart. There's this heartbreaking image in his mind of the temple being rebuilt, but being completely vulnerable. So the temple, the very symbol of God's presence among the Hebrew people, is vulnerable. There's nothing to protect it. The place where God meets with man has no protection. There's no defense. And so he begins to have this dream and passion to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that only escalates until it's a very, very serious thing that Nehemiah is considering. And eventually, he can't hold that desire back from His Majesty, the King. Nehemiah faces all kinds of opposition once he's given permission to go. But through all of the opposition that comes from every single angle, he doesn't lose his single-minded purpose and resolution. He doesn't lose sight of what his mission is But he also doesn't lose sight of the fact that there is no possible way to accomplish anything without complete and utter dependence on the Lord. And man, Nehemiah is such a profound story that is such a crystal clear mirror, if we will allow it to be, in our lives. Because all of the things that Nehemiah faces are all the kinds of things that we all face. And Nehemiah, to become successful at what he's trying to do, it's the same for us to be successful in our life and faith journey. So we'll see that the wall gets rebuilt, and it gets rebuilt in record time. And Nehemiah had promised he would be returning to Persia to report everything to the king and go back to his role in serving the king. And he does. And then later he gets to go back one more time to Jerusalem. But when he makes the journey back to Jerusalem, what he sees is very troubling. The wall is strong now, but the people are weak. So Nehemiah steps into that breach and calls the people back and restores Israel to its glory before the Lord. And that sparks repentance. And repentance, man, when you are exposed and everything falls apart and you repent and you go in another direction and you are no longer trying to hide or protect your image, revival comes into one's heart. And this happens among the people. Revival begins to spread throughout the exiles as the law was read. So Nehemiah isn't just this, you know, great story, although it is. It's not just this historical recollection, although it is. It is this fantastic lesson for us on how to pursue a passion, how to live into a calling, what to expect, and how to stay true. And so let's begin and enjoy a book that I love, the book of Nehemiah. Today, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, verse 14. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. During the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, when I was in the fortress city of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, arrived with men from Judah, and I questioned them about Jerusalem and the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile. They said to me, "The remnant in the province who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's wall has been broken down, and its gates have been burned." When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of the heavens. I said, "Lord, the God of the heavens, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands, let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you. Both I and my father's family have sinned. We have acted corruptly toward you and have not kept the commands, statutes, and ordinances you gave your servant Moses. Please remember what you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and carefully observe my commands, even though your exiles were banished to the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I chose to have my name dwell. They are your servants and your people. You redeemed them by your great power and strong hand. Please, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to that of your servants who delight to revere your name. Give your servant success today and grant him compassion in the presence of this man. At the time, I was the king's cupbearer. During the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had never been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, "Why do you look so sad when you aren't sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." I was overwhelmed with fear and replied to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" And the king asked me, "What is your request?" So I prayed to the God of the heavens and answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it." The king, with the queen seated beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take? And when will you return?" So I gave him a definite time, and it pleased the king to send me. I also said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let me have letters written to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates River, so that they will grant me safe passage until I reach Judah. And let me have a letter written to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so that he will give me timber to rebuild the gates of the temple's fortress, the city wall, and the home where I will live." The king granted my requests, for the gracious hand of my God was on me. I went to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates River and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent officers of the infantry and cavalry with me. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard that someone had come to pursue the prosperity of the Israelites, they were greatly displeased. After I arrived in Jerusalem and had been there 3 days, I got up at night and took a few men with me. I didn't tell anyone what my God had laid on my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal I took was the one I was riding. I went out at night through the valley gate toward the serpent's well and the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but farther down it became too narrow for my animal to go through. So I went up at night by way of the valley and inspected the wall. Then, heading back, I entered through the valley gate and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, for I had not yet told the Jews, priests, nobles, officials, or the rest of those who would be doing the work. So I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's walls so that we will no longer be a disgrace." I told them how the gracious hand of my God had been on me and what the king had said to me. They said, "Let's start rebuilding." And their hands were strengthened to do this good work. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about this, they mocked and despised us and said, "What is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" I gave them this reply, the God of the heavens is the one who will grant us success. We, his servants, will start building, but you have no share, right, or historic claim in Jerusalem." The high priest Eliashib and his fellow priests began rebuilding the sheep gate. They dedicated it and installed its doors. After building the wall to the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel, they dedicated it. The men of Jericho built next to Eliashib, and next to them Zaccur, son of Imri, built. The sons of Azaniah built the fish gate. They built it with beams and installed its doors, bolts, and bars. Next to them, Meremot, son of Uriah, son of Hikaz, made repairs. Beside them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, son of Baana, made repairs. Beside them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles did not lift a finger to help their supervisors. Joiada, son of Pasea, and Meshulam, son of Besodeah, repaired the old gate. They built it with beams and installed its doors, bolts, and bars. Next to them, the repairs were done by Melatiah, the Gibeonite, Jadon, the Moronitite, and the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, who were under the authority of the governor of the region west of the Euphrates River. After him, Uzziel, son of Harahiah, the goldsmith, made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, son of the perfumer, made repairs. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. After them, Jediah, son of Harumaph, made repairs across from his house. Next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabneah, made repairs. Melchijah, son of Harum, and Hashub, son of Beat Moab, made repairs to another section, as well as to the Tower of the Ovens. Beside him, Shalum, son of Haloesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs, he and his daughters. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and installed its doors, bolts, and bars, and repaired 500 yards of the wall to the dung gate. Malchijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Bet-Hakarim, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it and installed its doors, bolts, and bars. First Corinthians 7 1 through 24. Now, in response to the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because sexual immorality is so common, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman should have sexual relations with her own husband. A husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise a wife to her husband. A wife does not have the right over her own body, but her husband does. In the same way, a husband does not have the right over his own body, but his wife does. Do not deprive one another, except when you agree for a time to devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again. Otherwise, Satan may tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all people were as I am. But each has his own gift from God. One person has this gift, another has that. I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better to marry than to burn with desire. To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But I, not the Lord, say to the rest, if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. Also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce her husband. For the unbelieving husband is made holy by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. A brother or a sister is not bound in such cases. God has called you to live in peace. Wife, for all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. Let each one live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. This is what I command in all the churches. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called? He should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? He should not get circumcised. Circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter. Keeping God's command is what matters. Let each of you remain in the situation in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't let it concern you. But if you can become free, by all means take the opportunity. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called as a free man is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of people. Brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he was called. Psalm 31, 19 through 24. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. In the presence of everyone, you have acted for those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the protection of your presence. You conceal them in a shelter from human schemes, from quarrelsome tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his faithful love to me in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the sound of my pleading when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful ones. The Lord protects the loyal, but fully repays the arrogant. Be strong and let your heart be courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Proverbs 21:4. The lamp that guides the wicked. Haughty eyes and an arrogant heart is sin. Father, we thank you. We thank you, as we do every day, for your word, for the gift, for something tangible, something that we can touch and feel. And that not only that we can hold in our hands a copy of, but that is alive and touches and feels every part of who we are if we open ourselves to it. The gift of the scriptures is beyond description, and we are grateful and deeply thankful. And as we continue our journey forward into the book of Nehemiah, we invite your Holy Spirit we may see very, very clearly what resolute, single-minded purpose looks like. But so often we kind of glamorize something like that as if, you know, it just happens. It just happens for some people, when the truth is, that's never the case. It never just happens for anybody. And so those of us who have had burning sensations that this is the way we should be going, and then imagine that it might happen and then watch it happen for other people, that's not what's happening. There is a single-minded purpose, step by step, day by day, forward progress, regardless of opposition, regardless of setbacks, getting back up after two steps back and taking two steps forward and then another step forward. Forward, no matter what, no matter the taunts, no matter the intimidation, no matter the discouragement, no matter the threats, no matter the confusion, no matter the opposition. And so as we move through this story, awaken in us how this applies to our own stories. May we find ourselves in the book of Nehemiah. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base. It's where you can find out what's going on around here, obviously. It's 20 years of celebration, right? So that's every day of this year. We've released some music that we've been talking about. And last week, and wow, we flew through what we had, but it's a 20th anniversary reserve, so we've roasted some more. The 20th anniversary reserve of our 20th anniversary Wind Farm coffee, which is called Southern Pecan, is available now, and that can be found in the Daily Audio Bible shop. Grab yourself a bag or two or however many you want. Enjoy your cup of coffee. I'm doing that currently right now. And you can find that in the Daily Audio Bible shop, either on the web or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly, deeply, gratefully. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian, with deep gratitude. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my beautiful and blessed Dab family. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. It is August 5th, and I'm calling in response to many Dab prayer requests. So let's get right to it. We have Renee to lift up. She's suffering from suicidal thoughts in New York. Her friend called in and is asking for prayers for her, interceding on her friend's behalf. Veronica called in. She needs to downsize, her and her husband, and they need a buyer for their home so that they can move somewhere more affordable. And Rosie, aka Great to Be Free in Jesus, called in regarding Daniel, her grandson, who we've been praying for. He is graduating rehab, and she's asking us to pray that he would stay on the righteous path. And then her granddaughter Anissa is really suffering from what she calls a spirit of rejection. She needs prayers. Heavenly Father, our gracious, gracious Abba, Todo Abba, all you, nothing else. We come before you and we lift up our fellow family of faith, Lord, to you and their prayer requests. Lord, we lift up Renee to you, Lord, asking and pleading and praying that you would intercede, that you would call her out of this darkness, Lord, and you would shine the light and the love of Christ Jesus into her heart, and she would know that she is loved and that she is a child of the Most High, and you would do a great work changing her heart, her will, and her volition to live, Lord God. And we pray for Veronica, Lord, that you would provide a buyer for their home so that they can move as soon as possible. And we pray for Daniel that he would stay on this righteous path, Lord, and not be swayed by the enemy. And you would strengthen him and provide him a family of faith, friends to keep him on a good path. And we pray for Anissa that you would give her a love gift, that you would reassure her that she is loved, and that she is a child of you, Father God. And we ask and plead and pray this in the name of Jesus.
Hello, my DAV family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, your word says that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for never leaving or forsaking us. Thank you for the amazing privilege of being able to have fellowship with you and with one another through the blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, shed for us on the cross. Father, help us keep walking in an intimate relationship of connection with you, thanking you, talking to you, and trusting in you. Your word says that when we call upon you, you hear us and save us. Father, remind us of these truths today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Good morning, DAB family. I love each and every one of you. Thank you, Brian and Jill, for creating this safe space for everyone. Thank you guys for being honest and transparent with us, leading the way. I thank God for each and every one of you. You hold a special place in my heart. It truly is like a big giant family. And oh my goodness, it was so good to hear your voice, Aussie Bear. We missed you. God bless you. Have a good day.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is New Envisioned Growth out of New York. And today on the DAB, we're going through Paul's mission. And he goes so part with saying that he was, you know, weak and timid when he first started the gospel. And we know and see throughout the Bible how it didn't seem that way. But essentially, Paul had to go through some things. And I say that the bigger the affliction, the larger the connection. And there may be some people that are, it seems like they can't catch a break, or it seems like the things that they happen to them are just too much to handle. Well, guess what? God is never going to give you too much than you can handle. And 9 out of 10 times when we go through things, especially when there's a calling on our life, we go through them for someone else. God knows who he can give what to. It's almost as saying, have you tried my servant Job? He knew, although Job was going to go through the motions, he was going to stand firm when his friends tried to say otherwise, stand firm to even his helpmate who said, curse God and die. He stood strong in his faith with the Lord. So I encourage someone today, although it may seem like you're going through a lot, it may not be that it's for you. God knows that you can and will pull through. Keep the faith and be on the lookout for your connections. The bigger your afflictions, the larger your connections. And look at Apostle Paul, like snake bitten, a shipwrecked, and beaten almost to death, blind. He went through all this, but it made a larger audience to spread the gospel. So it could be, especially when there's a calling on your life, that you're going through so much to reach a larger range of people. So be encouraged. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, Daily Audio family. I'm extremely nervous, not because I'm talking to you all, but because I really need prayer, and I know the power that your prayers have. My name is Susie from Colorado, and I have orphans in Haiti and orphans in Jamaica. We have the opportunity, very rare opportunity, to possibly get asylum for my orphans in Haiti to go to El Salvador. I am possibly speaking to the President Bukele of El Salvador this week, and I need your prayers for him to say yes, that he will let us seek asylum in El Salvador. I have a lot of children. We have 94 children, and I want desperately to get them out of Haiti and reunite the ones we sent to Jamaica together in El Salvador. I know it's a big prayer, but I know Father God, he is able to do anything, and he helped me get 59 of our children asylum, so I know he can help me get the rest asylum. So please pray that President Bukele of El Salvador, he's a Christian man, very strong Christian, would help us. I thank you so much. Bye.
Hello, fellow Dabbers. This is Winnie B. I was calling in to request help in prayer concerning my health. I did find a doctor, a GYN doctor, who examined me, and she took some tests, and she was kind of hinting that it may be cervical cancer, or not. It could just be my fibroids acting up. So I'm just waiting on the test results from that. I had the test done on August 1st. So I'm hoping to hear something by the end of the week. And also for my cousin Daryl, I've been mentioning him. He's having his first chemo treatment on the 15th of August. He has to have 14 of these chemo treatments. So I just like to keep him lifted up in prayer. His wife is just at home with him right now, helping to take care of him. She's out of a job, so, and he's on leave. So they're, you know, they may be facing some challenges there, but I'm believing God that he too will also, you know, be just fine. Thank you, and God bless you all.